Welcome to the Mattcast, as we try to move the worlds of church and art closer together. Glad you can join us today. My name is Matt Anderson. Well, here we are, all cooped up with nowhere to go. This is unlike anything that I've experienced in my lifetime. I think the only thing that was closest to it was in the late 70s, and I wasn't even 10, and they were talking about swine flu, and swine flu ended up kind of coming back probably about 7-8 years ago. But at the time, it was making all the news headlines, and people were scared about it. I was a kid. I just thought, I'm nowhere near pigs, so I should be fine. That's the last time I can remember something disease-oriented taking up so much space. And, of course, now coronavirus has taken over our lives. As many of us find ourselves inside our homes, we're homebound here for weeks at a time. And it's not akin to the Great Depression. Certainly our grandparents and great-grandparents didn't have Netflix and Wi-Fi, so we are still pretty well reasonably entertained. But there is a challenge here, and it can really lead to some bad places if we don't do this right. And we can start to ask questions to which there are no answers. But I want to go back a little bit to about, 19 years ago. I remember I was a youth pastor at the time on September 11th, 2001, when tragedy struck our country. And large buildings and important places were suddenly in ruins or on fire. And I remember that day so well, and it's too long of a story to tell here because I originally was not at my church that morning. I was actually speaking at a conference. And I got back to the church, and we were all, our pastor was gone at this point. We were in between pastors, and so it was just the staff. And we were all huddled around this little TV in the main office, watching everything as it developed through the day. And somewhere around late afternoon, I remember people just started roaming into our church. People I had never seen before. People who I suppose lived near the church building, but they just sort of wandered into our sanctuary. And someone noticed it, and so we all went in there. And suddenly it was, somebody better say something. And I think our associate pastor gave some spiritual direction and gave some comfort and led us in some prayer. It was such a wild time, and I thought, well, this must be the closest that Pearl Harbor felt like back in the early 40s. And I thought when 9/11 was happening and the ensuing weeks and months, I thought, yeah, this is going to be the moment of my lifetime. Until the last few weeks. Some of you know the story of Esther. If you've never taken the time to read it in the Bible, it's 10 chapters. You can really read it in one sitting. It may be the best story outside of the gospel story in the Bible. And how this young Jewish woman, but no one knew she was Jewish at the time, the Persian Empire was in full display. And the king went on a search to find a new queen. He had tired of the old one. Well, she wasn't old, just former. And sure enough, this young woman named Hadassah, who we have come to know as Esther, was chosen from all the people of the empire to be the new queen. And suddenly, when there was a plot afoot to kill the Jews, her uncle Mordecai pulled her aside and said, "Maybe you have been placed here for such a time as this." It's one of the most famous phrases in the Bible. It's one that we use all the time. And I know we don't relish living in times like this. We don't long for a crisis of this magnitude, we don't say, oh boy, I really hope we can have some sort of a physical threat followed by a huge financial threat, because that would be awesome. But here we are. We didn't choose this. It chose us. But I'll even go bigger than that. Maybe the Lord chose us for this moment. Our country is facing something bigger than itself. It doesn't happen often because we're the biggest thing on the block. It's rare that we face something bigger than us. 9/11 comes to mind. Hurricane Katrina comes to mind. But think about this, believer in Christ. Think about this, pastor. We have been put here for such a time as this. If we believe in the Lord, if we believe in who He is, then surely we have to realize that He has orchestrated things in such a way that He believes that you and I are up for the challenge that we're now facing. This is our moment. This is our chance to shine and do kingdom stuff like we've always said we want to. And so I think if the church just is the church, and it's been so encouraging to be online and to see what so many churches are doing, and all the technology being our friend and live streaming and the different ways that people are reaching out. Because really, it's all about taking care of others. It's all about extending the love of Christ and being a practical, physical hand that is empowered by something very incredibly supernatural and beautiful and spiritual behind us. We have been blessed by God so that we can be a blessing to others. But here's where it begins. It actually begins within the community of the church. Paul wrote this in Galatians 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That's a bit of a surprising scripture. Certainly, we don't do that to the exclusion of other people. But Jesus told the disciples when He walked with them that the world would know that we are His by our love for one another. That is the major tool of attraction. I know there is a time for apologetics, for defending the faith. I know there is a time for us to stand and to say, we cannot allow this to continue in the name of the Lord. But I think what we do more than anything else is that we love and we reach and we meet needs. And that starts with each other. Because as people who are not a part of this community see how it's done, I think it becomes the ultimate magnetism. It becomes the ultimate tool for bringing people to a holy God who is in the business of bringing people to Himself, and then those people being released to love each other. All of us Christians, all we do is expand our definition of what family is. Yes, there are those who share our last name. But we have a spiritual community that's bigger than that. It's called the body of Christ. That's a very important statement because it means we're all connected in this thing together. All of us who claim Jesus is Lord, He's the only way to salvation, we're all connected. And so there's a responsibility found in that, in knowing what others are going through within our spiritual community and meeting those needs. So let's think about the people in our immediate circle right now. Think about your closest friends. Are they doing okay? Are we just assuming? Do they have enough groceries? How are they doing on their bills? Is there something that we can do to help? We've got to get outside of our own world, obviously. And again, that's not just to people who don't know Christ. Sometimes we got to work at that just with each other. We kind of show up on Sunday and we smile and we shake hands, or at least now we socially distance elbow thing. And we all go out to eat somewhere afterwards and then we go home. And that's really the extent of it. And maybe this crisis is going to teach us that we really need to get to know each other. So think about just your friends, the people who you relate to regularly. Are they doing okay? Then think about the people in your church, people that you see at small group, people that you see on Sunday morning. How are they doing? Think about the single moms in your church. Think about older members of your congregation whose children may all be away in other cities. Are they doing okay? Maybe there are people in your church who are in industries that are really suffering right now. If you know people that are food servers, find out how they're doing. Find out what they need, because they are really going through it right now. And of course, this podcast is all about creative people. I know artists are really going through it right now. A lot of people who had different things scheduled and performances and openings and things of this nature have all been scrapped. And we just need to find out who is around us that shares our spiritual community. And when people from the outside see us doing that, they recognize there's something that we do better than anybody else does. And I think it hopefully intrigues them to become a part of it. But it doesn't end there. There is this concept of taking care of our neighbor. Jesus gave us the two great commands on which hang all the law and prophets. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he used that great story of the Good Samaritan and how we are to display love and care very practically, not just a nice little word and a wave, but we pick them up off the roadside when they've been run over by life, and we care for them. I like to think of it this way. We love God more than ourselves, and we love others as much as ourselves. It's a tall order. It's something that we try to live up to every day. But when we look around, think about practically the people who live on your street. Are they doing okay? Do they even know us? Maybe this is a chance to introduce ourselves if we haven't done so and just say, hey, we just want to check in on you. Are you doing okay? Who knows where it might lead? That's really what we're called to do, is to see who is around us. And when we see people in our world, allowing God to lead us to do something very practical. It may just be sending money. There might be someone nearby who we can very practically help. But I think, believer in Christ, this is our chance. This is kind of the chance that we've been waiting for. This is a chance for people to say that a church is not just a place where we tell you how not to act. This is a place where we show how you do act, how you do love and care for one another. And whether that's feeding, clothing the poor, there's so much that has changed in our church over the decades. And I think when the Great Society happened in the 60s, I think the church changed its role in a lot of ways. And that whole practical, I was hungry and you fed me, I was naked and you clothed me, and visiting the prisoner and the one who was an outcast, I think we unintentionally said, oh, I guess the government's got that. Okay, well, let's do this now. And I think we lost something in our communities when we did that. Maybe this is our chance to take that mantle up once again and say, Christ cares. And it is a theology, but it's a very practical, lived out theology. Let me add this. What if you're the one who's in need? Will you tell someone? If you're a believer in Christ, it's important for you to be in spiritual community with someone else and be able to say, hey, I hate doing this, but things are really tough right now. And if there's nothing you can do, great, just pray. I'll take that. That's awesome. But you will be surprised, my friend, in how people react. You will be so surprised at what others will do to rally. But please do not suffer in silence. That's why we are here together. We're not omniscient. We don't necessarily have supernatural knowledge of everyone else's life. Sometimes you just need to say, help. And here we come. This is our chance to show how God supplies the needs of those who are scripturally giving. As you and I follow in obedience to the Lord in giving, and then God does what he always does, I think it serves as an amazing testimony where people will sit back and say, I guess those principles in the Bible aren't just for olden days or for getting a master's in theology at Duke University. This is lived out everyday stuff. And church, this is our chance. Don't wait for your pastor to have to come up with this, because there's no way he or she can do that. Just look around you. Be the church. Be the kingdom. Be an emissary of Jesus, the hands and feet of the Lord to your neighborhood. And who knows what might happen. Just check my voicemails here.
Yes, ma'am. This is Ohio Governor Mike DeWine.
Oh, wow.
I was just sitting here all day, and I realized that I've run out of things to close.
Oh, that's a problem.
So I wanted to just give you a heads up that we might have to shut down your podcast in the interest of public health. Please understand that this isn't personal. I just need to close something today. To make up for it, I'll send you two tickets to the Ohio State Fair. Unless I close it, of course.
Of course.
Good day.
Yeah, okay. Have a good day. You too, sir.
That you may already qualify for student loan debt forgiveness or lowered interest payment.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, I'm 51.
All right. Hey there, Matt. Congressman Joe Biden here. And
Congressman?
I'm running for Senate this November.
Wait, Senate?
Who am I talking to again?
Oh, boy.
Oh, all right. Look, fat.
Well, hey.
I'll do a push-up contest with you right now.
Well, I'm sure you'd win, but...
Anyhow, I'm calling to make sure I get your vote this November. I want to be your sanitation director, so...
Wait, what?
Vote for me, loser!
Hey, okay, that's not...
Could somebody please tell me where I am?
Tell you where you are.
After that, you will be taken under custody by the local police, as there are four serious allegations pressed on your name at this moment.
Wow, just four? That's a good week.
Hi, this is the Internal Revenue Service. Ugh. And we are really, really mad at you.
Ugh. What else is new?
Please call us and give us your social security number so we don't throw you in prison tomorrow.
I don't think...
Thanks, and have a great day.
Yeah, I don't think
call
you're...
us now at 888.
Yeah, you're not real.
Mr. Anderson, this is Tony calling from Angelino's. Calling to confirm your order of a Mamma Mia pasta feast for one to be picked up at.
Okay, nobody needs to really know that. Some things just have to be kept private.
Hello, this is Donald J. Trump, your president and warrior against all diseases.
Oh, my word.
I just wanted to call and tell you you're doing a terrific job.
No,
with
great.
The Met guest. Really, a terrific job,
thanks.
Fantastic job.
Oh, thank you.
I have to be honest that... To this point, I've always thought of you as a bit of a loser.
What?
Excuse me.
What?
Excuse me.
What's with...
Anyhow, well done. But just be aware that if I ever did a podcast, it would be the greatest podcast in the history of podcasting.
I have no doubt.
Believe me.
Okay. I need to get on one of those do not call lists I've been hearing so much about. Talked about how this is the big chance for the church. I want to wrap it up today by just telling you, the artist, this is really your big chance. I mean, really, this is what art is about. It's almost more for the bad times than it is for the good times, because artists are there to bring meaning when we can't find any, or to at least mess with our heads when we think we've got it all together. And this is one of those times when artists can really come to the front and say, hey, let's look big picture at life. These things are going to pass, and we're going to use our creativity to remind you of bigger things, possible things, amazing things. So I want to ask you, artist, what are you doing right now? What creation have you been delaying? Or maybe those of you who, you don't do this full time, but you've always wanted to write a poem or write a song or write a short story or compose something or paint something, draw something. This is your moment. This is the opportunity, I think, for that inner artist to just be released. Maybe there are some things that you've been keeping dormant for a while. Maybe there was something creative you wanted to do at some point in your life, but you set it aside for the sake of pragmatism and security and career, and you've given yourself full tilt to that. And now here we are. Most of us are homeward bound. And now we have to think about bigger things. Bigger things than just finances. Bigger things than just getting the mortgage paid this month. I mean, aspirational things that maybe you've been delaying for a while. And maybe for decades you have set it aside and you said, that isn't me. I think one of the things I always appreciated about my mom was she had this artistic part of her that just could not be silenced. Even though a lot of her life she was a single parent and she was working wild hours trying to make it work for us. But she had this artistic side to her that just wouldn't be denied. And it would take different forms. She wrote poetry. Sometimes she would paint. I still have an old nativity scene, and she did all the painting of the metal figurines, and it's survived for 50 years, and I still have it. She was an amazing cake decorator, and one time at our church, we had a contest in an auction, and it brought out this unbelievable creativity, and we got to eat all the extra frosting. But bigger than that, she was an amazing artist. And it took on so many different forms. So I'm just asking you, is there something that you can create or do that will lift the heart and the spirit of people around you? Is there something that you have been delaying or even telling yourself that never was, but you know way in the back of your mind, sometimes when it's really quiet and you're left to your own thoughts, it's still there? What I want to tell you is that's been put there by the Lord himself. It's part of the engineering of your life, and it is something that needs to be expressed in some beautiful and powerful way. It doesn't have to be great. It may just be something that only you and the Lord see. That's all right. It doesn't have to be successful. It doesn't have to get 100 likes for it to be worth it for us. It may just be something between you and the Lord. It may be something you release on social media and other people take it in. Don't be afraid of that. This is your opportunity. This is your chance. Maybe this is the time to get something off the ground that you just have been meaning to start. Or maybe this is the time to complete something that you had started. Maybe this is your moment. We thought for a couple of weeks that it was all about some virus that we hope we can protect ourselves from, but there's been another virus that's been infecting too many people in the church, and that's a lack of creativity. And we've been telling ourselves, oh, that's for younger folks, or that's for a certain generation, or that's for certain kinds of churches, whatever it is. I think you know you're a part of that. And it's time to let that virus go. Because it all begins when you picking up a pen, putting your fingers over a keyboard, grabbing a guitar, holding a paintbrush, and just releasing yourself to do something bigger than yourself. I think this is your chance. I want to thank you for joining us for the Mattcast today. Our music is provided by Sound Diffusion. For more information on Monumental Ministries, go to mattministry.com. Hey, thanks for having me over. I had a wonderful time.